factors do you see typically holding a business back from growth?
It's a great question and a great place to begin, Jess. Here's one of the difficulties. Whether it's an entrepreneur, whether it's someone who's a seasoned vet, they have a tendency to do data dumps. They have a tendency, as my buddy Jeffrey Gitterber says, to show up and throw up, meaning they focus on them. They do not focus on their decision maker. And I tell folks, if you choose to do that, you have just made a financial faux pas, a business blunder. It's just plain goofy, because the tendency is that it's drivel. And folks do not care about you until they first discover the impact you are going to have upon them. Here are classic examples, and I literally will share this with people when I'm speaking all over the country, in a keynote, seminar, workshop, whatever it might be. And I'll even say to folks, as I've looked at their websites, I'll go, hey, out of curiosity, do you ever take a look at a website and you'll see two words? The words are about, and they fill in the blank with, what's that second word, Jess? Us, right? Uh-huh. About us. So what you just told either that prospect or that potential customer or client is, you click here, it's got absolutely nothing to do with you. It's about us. Or you'll see a link, who we are. Mm-hmm. I was speaking in Pennsylvania earlier this week, so folks said, well, okay, big shot, what do you suggest we say? I said, well, what would the impact be if it said something like about you? What would the impact be if it said your success? How we impact your results. So the focus is on them. And I stress to people, it's not about your product. It's not about your service. It's not about your solution, because people do not care about that. That is an is. What they care about is the does. And the does has got to focus on a result, a benefit, an advantage, or an outcome. Let me repeat that. It's about the result. It's about the benefit. It's about the advantage. It's about the outcome. It's not what something is. It's what it does. And if it's cool, I can share with you, and I know you've got lots of listeners who are in all different types of businesses, but I'm going to give you the commonality right now, Jess. There are only two driving motivators that influence every decision, no matter what business somebody is in. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the first one. The only thing that folks want is for you to improve their condition. That's the present. Hey, I got a problem. I've got an issue. For example, in your business, one of your taglines is, life just got a little easier. People love for things to become easy. Mm-hmm. So first, you have to improve their condition. That's right now. That's the present moment. But we now have to move beyond that. So I tell folks, you also have to help others attain a more favorable future. Improve their condition now. Help them attain a more favorable future. That's obviously the future. If you do those things continually, it will drive growth. It'll drive success. It'll drive profitability, because you are focused on what's in the best interest of a customer, a client, a prospect, a decision maker. Mm-hmm. That's what really drives results.
I love that. That's really great advice. I think I've watched so many people start a business and they get very excited about their idea or their product that they've come up with, which is great. You need the passion and you need the excitement for what you're putting out there, but then you need to refocus on the other side and who you are actually giving it to.
And absolutely true.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. So I feel like you're already touching on this. So my next question, kind of leading into it, is easy business growth strategies that we can put into place in our business to see immediate growth. And then what should we also be considering for long-term growth?
Got it. So first, let me stress that if you really want to be successful in business, it is seldom easy. It will take hard work. It will take preparation. It will take persistence. It will take the ability to realize, whoa, I'm dealing with rejection. And I always tell people, it's not personal rejection, it's business rejection. Mm-hmm. And especially if someone is listening now as an entrepreneur, if you cannot get past the fact that some people will tell you no, you better quickly find something else to do. Let somebody else write your paycheck, because you are going to be brooding at the end of every day or every week because someone offended you and they said no. Mm-hmm. So here's a strategy from one of my books, which is Stop Whining, Start Selling. I tell people to GOIMO, which is G-O-I-M-O. Get over it, move on. And you've got to do that to be able to continually move forward. Now, I'm going to give you a simple principle that will work for anybody in any business. And the principle is you've got to drive relationships. However, I want to stress what I call relationship power, Jess, from two perspectives. Because everybody says, oh, our business is a relationship-driven business. Well, of course, that's true, but it's really superficial. So we're going to dig deeper right now. When I talk about relationship power, I'm talking about two aspects. First, you've got the little r, and then you've got the big R. Well, what's the difference? Little r is about one's humanity, their sincerity, their dignity, their courtesy, their ability to be a good person. Some people say, oh, like a mensch? Yes, like a mensch. A mensch simply being a good person. Important, but it's not enough. You've got to have what I call the big R, and the big R is all about the ability to be a business growth specialist or a life growth specialist. So you help others maximize gain or minimize loss or improve performance, productivity, profitability, peace of mind, sales, comfort, whatever it might be. You got to have both. So people will say to me, hey, you're a really nice guy, and you've also challenged us in terms of how you're able to help us, Jeff, grow our business. People will literally say to me, you need to make us uncomfortable. And they depend upon me to give them insights and strategies that they had not considered before. Because if somebody is simply a nice person, that will not drive results. You've got to be a great human being who's got the ability to make an impact upon somebody else's life or their business. And I can give you now a simple strategy, but you got to execute to it, and that will work for any business. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it really doesn't matter. Well, no, it does matter because we got the phone ringing.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to really set it up for is to talk about power probes. So are we recording again now?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that's crucial in any business, it is a simple strategy, but it does require hard work and execution, and that's the ability to ask really good questions. And most people, Jess, in any business, they are terrible at asking really good questions. And I call these questions power probes. A power probe is an open-ended need development question. It begins with a who, a what, a when, a where, a why, a which, a how, or a tell me more about. Let me repeat that. It begins with a who, a what, a when, a where, a why, a which, a how, or a tell me more about. If you want, we can even add to that, explain to me how, or describe for me. But what questions like that do is that those questions have got the ability to then discover both the logic as well as the emotion as to why somebody wants to do something. Remember, we focused on improve their condition and help them attain a more favorable future.
Mm-hmm.
So people will say to me, whoa, hang on, are you saying I only ask open-ended questions? And I go, no. There are two times when it's cool to ask a closed-ended question. They go, well, what's that? I go, one is for qualification purposes, and two is for a decision. Because you need to qualify. You need to know, is this person a prospect or are they a suspect?
Mm-hmm.
Are they a pretender or are they a player? There's only one way that you know. You've got to qualify. There you can ask a closed-ended question. And when it's time to get a decision, hey, yay or nay, how will we work together? That's cool, too, to ask a closed-ended question. But prior to that, you need to ask the open-ended questions, starting with the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, the which, the how, or the tell me more about. And here's why. There are three key things you try to discover with the power probe. One is, do you have a problem that I can help you solve? Two, do you have a need I can help you fill? Or three, do you have a dream or goal I can help you get? Problem solve, need fill, dream or goal get. And if one of those three does not exist, you're going to waste your time with that individual. So you are still going to be a good human being, little r, but it's time to move on to pursue other opportunities. And you can still request a referral from this person. If you like, I'll give you and everybody else an acronym a little bit later. They will never forget to ask for referrals. Now, here's the suggestion. I'm going to recommend to anybody listening is that they create their dynamic dozen. And their dynamic dozen is 12 open-ended need development questions. Again, who, what, when, where, why, which, how, tell me more about, explain to me how, describe for me, etc. Write them down. Put them down on paper. Rehearse them. Practice them. Get really good at it. Most people wing it, Jess. They are not well prepared. Clients say to me, Blackman, you are always incredibly well prepared. I can wing it, but I don't. I prepare for every single thing that I do. Just for you and I to chat today, I prepared. I considered what are some of the possibilities. What are key strategies or tactics that I like to share with you and your listeners? And I do the same thing, whether it's a current or prospective client, I make a list of questions. Now, I may not get to all the questions, and that's fine, but I'm able to bob and weave and adjust appropriately. Mm-hmm. My late dad passed away in February 2019, he had a very simple phrase, and that is that life is a series of adjustments. Because when you're incredibly well prepared, then you can adjust. It's the equivalent in football. So in football now, we often hear about a quarterback doing an RPO. That's a run or a pass option. So I've taken those same three letters and created the acronym of RPO, meaning results, possibilities, opportunities. And you can only pursue that if you're incredibly well prepared. Most folks aren't. And once again, that will not just hinder growth or diminish growth, it could literally cease growth. So people have got to be incredibly well prepared. Now, here's a possibility. If you'd like, I will send to anyone who's listening what I call the Sweet 16. So this will help listeners jump start their own list of a dynamic dozen. So if folks simply put in the subject line, Jess, all they got to do is put in Jess rocks, and the number 16 will know exactly what that means. And we'll send them a Sweet 16 of potential power probes. Who do they send it to? Send it to Cheryl in my office. Let me give her email. That's Cheryl, Sheryl, at Jeff, Jeff Blackman, just like the color, BlackMan.com. So subject, Jess rocks, number 16, we'll know exactly what that means, to Cheryl, that's with an S, at JeffBlackman.com. And we'll give folks a jump start at creating their own power probes. It will be, this is not my opinion, it is my client's experience, a game changer in terms of how they serve current and prospective customers, clients, prospects, decision makers.
That's great. Thank you so much. That's a generous offer. My pleasure. And I'll include that in the post too, so that they can have that there. So I wanted to recap because that was a lot of great information. I wanted to kind of recap the big strategies that I got out of that for business growth and putting things into action are one, to really be prepared and know who you are and who you're engaging with and what you're asking for and what you're asking in general. Mm-hmm. And then two, to be focused on the relationship, both the little R relationship and the big R relationship with your clients. And that's where you'll see growth, knowing what you're doing and focusing on who you're doing it with to get the growth in your business that you're looking for. Does that sound right?
Absolutely true, because the key is the customer's perception or the client's perception. Let me share with you another strategy related to that, because all of this is designed to literally help folks peak their profits. And as you know, the title of the most recent book, the fifth edition, is Peak Your Profits. So everything we're focused on today is to help folks peak their respective profits. So someone asked me a question yesterday, and I had a meeting on the telephone with a COO of a company that recently heard me speak, along with the VP of sales and marketing. And they're talking to me about a coaching and a learning system for their team. And so the question that was posed by the VP of sales and marketing was, Jeff, what value do you bring to our company for us to potentially work together? It's a terrific question. Most people would answer, oh, let me tell you, and they would start to do this data dump. And I had said to him, it's a terrific question, but my perspective doesn't matter. What's most important is how our clients over the decades and C-suite leaders like you have been able to benefit. And I shared with them some results and benefits, advantages, and outcomes. But then I immediately posed a question that I call a trial close, which seeks an opinion, a reaction, a feeling, or an attitude. And I asked them, and how would that benefit you and your team? So this is all designed to create engagement and a connection and trust. Now here's a key point, Jess. When trust is high, fear is low. Let me repeat that. When trust is high, fear is low. And you do not create trust if you only talk about yourself. You only create the trust when you discover what's important to somebody else. So here's an immediate takeaway for anyone listening. If someone says, well, what makes you special? What makes you different? What makes you unique? Why should I work with you? In the future, they should no longer answer that question from their perspective. It is a mistake. But if they answer from the perspective of, here's what ecstatic customers tell us, or folks with, insert the title of whomever they're serving, appreciate how we're able to, or especially value the ways that, totally different impact. Because now what you're sharing is the gospel. Somebody else said it. You are just the messenger of that important value message. And it's from their perspective, not from your perspective.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, that's really great. So with all these tips, as we're bringing in all these strategies and tips that you're putting in, we're implementing these and we see growth in our business. Mm-hmm. This is an area that can also be a tough spot to be in that I wanted to be sure to touch on. When we're getting the growth that we're looking for in our business, how do we make sure that we avoid overwhelm, we maintain our time management, and we also care for the health of our business and our current clients while bringing in new clients? Can you touch on that a little bit?
There is a boatload of possibility just based upon that multi-part question. Let's touch on a boatload of possibilities.
Okay.
First, if you really know your business and who you want to serve, that means you've got to identify the criteria for who is for you an ideal customer. So all too often, especially in early startup businesses, and sometimes even a little bit later, folks will say yes to a customer or a client. Why? They need to pay their bills. They got to pay for overhead. And they go, this person's really going to be difficult to work with, but you know what? It represents X amount of dollars. All right, I'll do it. So they already regret the decision before they ever started.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell a client, I go, decision makers are vetting you. How are you going to vet them? They go, what do you mean? I go, well, if you're asking me, what do I mean? We now need to work on this. So we literally work on with clients. Here's the criteria in terms of who your ideal client is. And if they don't meet your criteria, it's okay to say no. That was a very powerful word. And let me stress that no can be a complete sentence. again, you're a good human being, so you're polite, you're articulate, you're friendly, but it's okay to politely pass. Why? You're in business to generate a profit. And if that can't be done with somebody, you can politely let them know, I'm probably not the best person to be able to help you. So that means you need to know your numbers as well. And need to have the infrastructure in place, because all too often people focus only on acquisition. There are three key elements to being able to grow the business. One is acquisition. The second is satisfaction. And the third is retention. Because if you are always replacing customers or clients, that's really tough. The goal is to maintain and then dig deeper in terms of how you can help them. And when you deliver incredible value, you no longer have to look for a new customer or a client, because customer acquisition cost is significant. Brings up another point that we touched on a wee bit earlier, and that's referrals. People will often say to me, help us with cold calls. And I go, hey, I live in Chicago. In 2019, in January, we had something called a polar vortex. It was minus 22 degrees, actual temperature. Real feel was minus 49. I don't want to add any more cold to my life. I don't make cold calls. And I haven't now in about 25 years. Everything that we do is referral driven. And I'll often ask folks, do you have customers? Yeah. Do you have clients? Yeah. Do they know you? Do they like you? Do they trust you? Remember, trust is high, fear is low. Do they even love you? Oh, yeah. Have you asked them for introductions to others you might be able to help? Oh, boy, I can do that? Of course you can do that. They know you, they like you, they love you, they trust you, and they proved it. They paid you. So the reason that our research and my experience in four decades has discovered is that the reason people don't ask for referrals, it's not just a training issue. It's not just I'm scared or I'm reluctant. It's they do not remember. Jess, this drove me nuts. This just drove me crazy. So I came up with an acronym, and the acronym was REMEMBER, REMEMBER. And it means referrals every moment, every month, bring excellent results. And someone said, hey, can I also add the last DR to mean extra revenue? I go, yep, that will work too. Mm-hmm. Because there is literally zero, bupkis, nada, nothing in terms of acquisition cost when it comes to referral. So everything that we do is referral based. I never pick up the telephone to introduce myself to someone that I don't have a relationship with based upon somebody else. Mm-hmm. So we're starting warm. And sometimes we're even starting hot. And everybody can do it. But again, it's a skill. And it's a skill that needs to be learned. It's a skill that needs to be adapted. And that's really one of the things, whether it's in any one of my previous books or at Peak Your Profits or whatever it might be, I want to give folks both strategy and tactic. And it's always from three key points. It's got to be value-driven. It's got to be integrity-based. And it's got to be non-manipulative. Value-driven, integrity-based, non-manipulative. In my world, just those are non-negotiables. And I get some people who say to me, ah, come on, you're kidding, right? That's ridiculous. If you really want to persuade and influence, you got to manipulate people. And I go, well, okay, if that works for you, that's your choice. It does not work for me. So if it works for you, that's cool. That's your choice. And business is about choice. But I will not work with someone who I feel I can't trust. So everything we'll do is from a values base, an integrity base, and the ability to be non-manipulative as well. That's absolutely crucial for long-term growth and success.
I believe that people can feel when you're being genuine and you're being authentic in everything you do. A social media post, the way that you interact with them in email, there's a difference interacting with someone that is authentic in what they're doing. And I think that really comes through.
It's a great point. And here's something that drives me nuts. I'll admit, this is my personal bias. This is my own prejudice. But when I talk to a client and they sneak in the words, hey, Jeff, let me be honest. Or honestly, I politely listen and then I call them on it. I go, let me make sure I understand. If you don't say it, does that mean that you're not honest? They go, oh gosh, yeah, that is a bad habit. I go, why doesn't you work on that? They go, yeah, hey, every time I say it, will you remind me? Because what happens is, I have always found, and I've been in business now for a long time when I chose not to practice law. So I'm a lawyer, been a lawyer since 1982, chose not to practice law. So for four decades now, I have heard people say to me, let me be honest, or to be honest, and I go, at some point they're going to fib. At some point they're just going to do something that's going to be duplicitous. And unfortunately, it's a simple litmus test, but it's always proven true. I go, yep, right on schedule. And with clients, I know for many of them, it's not necessarily that they're going to be duplicitous, but instead it's literally like a verbal tick until I call them on it. And they go, man, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. If I do that again, let me know. Or every time I do it, I'm going to pop $5 into a pot and then donate it to charity. Mm-hmm. So a lot of business is about the ability to consider the possibilities. And I always tell people, anything that I share with you, it's up to you in terms of what you choose to do with it. Same thing will be true of anybody listening today. They can either ignore it, and I'm fine with that. They can adapt it, or they can use it as is. This stuff works. That's why at our website, we literally have got a no-risk assurance. If a client isn't happy, we'll give them every dollar back. We've never lost the bet. Never lost the bet. But I will put my butt on the line every time I do anything to be able to help somebody else grow their business, improve their condition, help them attain a more favorable future.
Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do with all of this information is watch this interview right away again and take down notes, and then just spend my entire Christmas break coming up with lists and all of these, putting all of this into action, because it's all fantastic. But there is a lot of it too. You've given so much great advice in this short interview. I want to kind of wrap up by a summary maybe, and some kind of key small steps that people should be taking now to kind of launch them into all of this. Can you give us some advice to end on there?
So let me make sure. You're going to spend your holiday break re-listening to this interview.
I said want to. That's the impulse.
So a couple of things that are absolutely crucial. And when we work with a client, they'll often say to me, whoa, that's a great idea. I am going to do that. And as soon as they say that, they know what's going to happen. I politely say to them, excellent. I'm glad you found value in that. So tell me exactly what you intend to do, and by when will you do it? They go, oh gosh, oh yeah, that accountability thing. Mm-hmm. So I always ask folks, what's the behavior and what's the date? Give me the what and give me the when. Because people say to me, keep me accountable, keep my feet to the fire. And I never berate them, I never abuse them, I never beat them up, but they've asked me to keep them accountable. That's one of the things that I do. And I do the same thing with leaders. So I'm not talking just about a salesperson. I'm talking about presidents and CEOs and business owners. They ask me to keep them accountable. So one is, you need to focus on, what are your priorities? What do you really want to accomplish? So with clients, Jess, we work on a focus five. What are the five specific quantifiable, measurable, actionable things that you are going to do to drive growth and results? Write it down. Write it down. If you don't write it down, guess what? Ain't gonna happen. Because what this does is that it takes the rhetoric, converts it to reality. It takes the fantasy, it converts it to fact. Now you can stare at it, now you can look at it, and you can adjust. Life is a series of adjustments, so you can adjust. But it's really crucial to make that a commitment, and that's for self-accountability. And then realize that time is precious, and we all have the same amount of time. 1,440 minutes. That's all we get every day. So no one has been blessed with more time. We get the same amount, 1,440 each day. And I tell folks, there's no such thing as time management. It is absurd. The only thing that exists is self-management. And what self-management means is, you get to make a choice. Will I do this? Because if I do this, I might not be able to do that. So self-management is about choice, also, once again, in terms of what you say no to. It's okay to say no, because it allows you to take a step closer to whatever your goals are. And that's applicable not just to business, but also to life. Because you should have goals that are tied to things that are financial, or spiritual, or recreational, or health, and obviously family-oriented. So in my hierarchy, family always comes first, and then it's business. And the number three is the Chicago Cubs baseball team.
Obviously,
so, I suffered a long time. 2016 was pretty good, but now we're suffering once again, Jess. But those are my three priorities. Mm-hmm. So I think all of us have got to identify our priorities. Nobody else's. But ours. And then you're able to live a far more happier life because you're doing what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it starts. I'll often ask people, who's the most important person in your life? And they think it's a trick question. I go, no, it's not a trick question. You have got to be the most important person in your life. And it's not selfish because if you want to take care of others, you got to first take care of yourself. And they go, okay, now I get it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not talking from a position of being selfish, it's really about being selfless. But first, you got to take great care of yourself and then be in the best position to serve others.